Welcome to Life Church McDonough Podcast. If you will, please visit us at lifechurchmcdonough.com, or you can follow and subscribe at Life Church McDonough on YouTube, Facebook, and Instagram. If you're in the McDonough area, please come visit us. Life happens here.
Let me tell you one more thing. This is actually, I've only been the DYD now for about a month and a half, almost 2 months. You guys are my first Sunday congregation that I'm getting to speak to this morning. And so I consider it a huge honor just to have the responsibility of the pulpit this morning. Another thing you need to know, I'm an emotional guy, so there's a good chance I'll cry a lot during this time. But I get really emotional when I talk about family. And let me just tell you, that is what I consider Jonathan and Jubilee. They are some of, he commented that we are authentic. Let me tell you this, I value their friendship so highly. They're not just incredible friends, but they are incredible examples of godly leadership. And we saw that from their time at Griffin to their time in Columbus to now what the Lord is doing within them here. And honestly, I'll say this, and this is not hyperbole. This is not an exaggeration, or as the kids say these days, no cap. Okay. If I could have half the leadership ability of Jonathan Criswell, I would consider that an accomplishment. And so you guys have incredible pastors here at Life Church. Will you just honor your pastors this morning and all that they do? Amen. I couldn't look at you while I said that, because otherwise I would have cried the whole time. So I had to just kind of look over your heads during that moment. But thank you so much for allowing me the chance to speak this morning. And actually, a chance is what we're going to talk about today. So if you like to take notes, I want to encourage you to do so. This is something I'm going everywhere I go in Georgia. I'm reminding people that you should take notes when you hear a message. And here's why. Whether or not when you're listening to the message, maybe it's a topic that, you know, you've just accomplished, right? You've checked that mark. You never have anything to learn in that department, right? Do you hear my sarcasm in that? But, you know, maybe there's something that doesn't apply to your current season, but take notes anyway, because there may be a moment where it does. Right? And how many of you have that notes app on your phone, and you have notes from like years ago, right? Years and years and years ago that you've just never really deleted, because now at this point you're like, I've had this note for so long. What is my phone going to be like without this one note of a grocery list that I never accomplished? Right? But with the way that we hang on to notes like that, but there may be a time where you're going through it, where you're going through a struggle, or you're going through a season, and you flip back through and you say, remember what God said then. Remember how God spoke to me in that moment. So I want to encourage you, be a note taker. Let's take notes today. And so the title of my message today is simply called Cloudy with a Chance. Cloudy with a Chance. I remember going through the season of COVID. I know we're not fully out of the pandemic, but do you guys remember shelter in place? You remember what that was like, where we actually had to spend time with our families? Do you remember that? And we actually had to get to know them. And, you know, sometimes some days were better than others, right? Sometimes it's blowing up the inflatable pool and putting it in the front yard, you know, just getting real country real quick, right? Other times it's just trying to figure out something to do besides watch TV all the time until your eyeballs begin to fall out. I remember, but then, you know, then school got ready to start in fall of 2020, right? And then they had this incredible idea of kids doing school at home with parents as teachers or like facilitators, right? And then like the teacher would have them on the screen for maybe about 5 minutes, and then it would say, okay, we'll see you again in about 3 hours. And I'm like, wait, hold on. I am not ready for this. I am not fully equipped to educate this young mind. Who do I look like? Jubilee? Like, that is, I am not equipped for something like this. But see, the good thing, I guess, was that my son was just in the kindergarten, first grade kind of stage. And so those are the things that I actually knew. I was like, ooh, shapes. I'm so good at this. Oh, a triangle has three sides. Yes, let's go. I mean, I felt like a genius, but here's the thing. I'm worried that, like, if something like this happens again, like, God forbid, like, if we start getting above fifth grade, I don't know. I've seen Are You Smarter Than a Fifth Grader? And I'm like, I just don't think I am. I don't know. I don't know if I'm ready for that. But, you know, the good thing was my son was young. And so we were doing his morning routine with him and his class, and the teacher would get on the screen, and they kind of like sing a little song about the weather. Right? And it's really easy. They would just go, what's the weather like today? Like today, like today. What's the weather like today? Tell me, Micah. Right? My son's name is Micah. So he would have to, like, look out his window, right? Like, it is cloudy outside. Like, just he's figuring out what the weather is like. And so maybe you've watched a weather report before, right? You're watching the Weather Channel. Like, if you are my wife's parents, that is what's constantly on the TV. It's either the weather, or it's like a Jimmy Swaggart rerun, or it's back to the Weather Channel again, or maybe it's some news. And so in the weather, when they start off and they're saying it's cloudy, right? And you're like, okay, I can do with cloudy. Then they say it's cloudy with a chance, right? Then you stay on the edge of your seat. Because you're like, a chance of what? What's going to happen? We're talking about a chance of rain, chance of thunderstorms, chance of tornadoes, hurricanes, snow, blizzard. Or if you're blessed and highly favored, right, a chance of sunshine. And you're like, oh, the Lord's with me today, right? And so there's something about that phrase, with a chance, right? That with a chance comes an opportunity for something else, right? And so when we hear that phrase, with a chance, we wonder what's actually next. And so let me tell you this, right? Let me tell you about the atmosphere kind of currently that we're going to talk about. It's cloudy outside, and there's an opportunity just waiting to be taken by the people of God. Okay? And so you're going to understand where I'm going with that in just a minute. But because I feel like even when I say that, you may be getting the wrong idea. Like, I could do a message and say, like, oh, man, the turmoil of this world is so negative. The unrest is so bad. It looks cloudy. It looks uncertain. But bless God, there's going to be an opportunity coming your way, right? And then we would all get saved and have an altar moment. We go home. Okay? But it's actually not the way that we're going to go this morning. The cloud looks a little bit different. We find it in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. It says this. It says, therefore, and we're going to stop right there. Stop, pause. Come on, we're in chapel this morning, okay? When we're in chapel, when you're reading your Bible, how many people like to read the Bible? I'm just making sure, look, I'm just checking, you know, to see who would actually raise their hands for that one, right? But when you read your Bible and you come across the word therefore, all my Bible study scholars, you have to find out what it is therefore, right? You don't just read that word because it's referencing something that came before. So you got to jump back a little bit. You got to understand that when it says therefore, it's important to know what actually takes place in Hebrews 11. See, in Hebrews 11, the writer goes on to declare what we refer to in the church as the hall of faith, right? Honoring those who exemplified great faith. For example, Noah for building an ark, even though he had never seen rain. Abraham for leaving his home without knowing the destination. Moses, who chose to embrace his Hebrew ancestry and led God's people through the Red Sea, and so on, right? The faith of these that have gone before us, it's meant to encourage us to take great strides of faith in the future, right? We're meant to be inspired by the faith of these heroes. You know why? It's because faith produces more faith. Faith produces more faith. Here's what I mean by that. The power of story and testimony cannot be overstated, right? We even heard it this morning as Sarah is sharing all of these stories of people who are coming to know the Lord in Tajikistan, right? I'm sitting there weeping, hearing this story of the girl saying, do you see him? Do you see him? I can't even talk about it anymore because otherwise I'm just going to sit here and weep. Because there's something about a story that is powerful, isn't it? Right? When the Lord brings you through incredible victories, or when you trust God, even when things are uncertain, it lifts the spirit of those who are in the room. It lifts the spirit of those who are around you. That's why in Revelation, we see the church overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. Do you know what it's saying there? It's saying that the blood of the Lamb that covers all of our sin works in partnership with the story that God has placed in your life. Isn't that incredible that anything, any life experience that I could possibly have could partner with the power that's in the blood of Jesus? And so that's what he's saying is that, listen, the power of your story, the power of what God has done in you can do incredible works in those around you. And so that's why it's important for them to list that in Hebrews 11. All right, so now let's get back into the scripture since we've only read one word. Okay, we're going to jump back in. Hebrews 12, verse 1. It says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, it says, now that we are surrounded by all of these who have gone before us, who have demonstrated incredible faith, now that we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles us, and let us run. Let us run with perseverance the race that is marked out for us. It's an incredible verse. Now, if you're like me, I read about the heroes of the faith witnessing my life. And I start to think, oh boy, that's a lot of pressure. So they're watching me now? Okay, I don't know if I'm ready for all that, right? Like, how can I possibly live up to their expectations? But not only their expectations, how can I possibly live up to God's expectations? Right? Like, I'm so messed up that there's probably even sin in my life that I don't even know about. Which is actually, that's actually something that's pretty common, right? To have sin in your life that you don't even know about, right? King David used to ask God, search me out and see if there's any wicked way in me. What are you saying? Like, listen, there's blind spots in my life. There's things that I don't even know that I'm doing wrong. And I need the Holy Spirit to reveal those things to me, right? There's things that I need revealed to me through the power of the Holy Spirit. Sometimes it's impossible to see our sin. But let's look at this verse again. It says, throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. And there's something really powerful in that. Now, I've never been much of a prankster in my life. Like, I don't like to do that. I don't really like to do pranks. The only reason why I don't like to do it because someone's always going to try to one-up me. Right? Like, I'm not going to try to prank anybody because, like, I never know when to stop. Okay? And so my wife's the same way. Like, she doesn't like pranks or anything like that. But I do watch a lot of TV, okay? And so maybe you've seen this happen before in TV, right? Like, someone's sitting down, okay? And then someone sneaks up behind them. They take their shoelaces, right? They tie them together, right? And then they sneak away, right? And then what happens? The person stands up. They go to walk, they fall because their shoelaces are tied together, okay? It's a classic prank, right? Here's the thing about that prank, though. The thing, though, is that if that person who's getting pranked, if they never tried to get up and move, they would have never known that they were tangled up, right? If that person never tried to get up and actually start moving forward, they would have never known that they were tied together, they were tangled up, and that they would fall. Here's why. Movement exposes entanglements. Movement exposes entanglements. Here's what I mean by that. You'll never know what's tangling you up unless you get up and start moving. You'll never know the things that are tripping you up. You'll never know the things that are holding you back, the things that are getting in your way until you actually get up and start making moves towards Jesus. We need to listen. Don't worry about the pressure. Don't worry about the what if I fall, because you're going to fall. Why? Because you're entangled. And so we need to be bold enough to say, you know what, Lord? I don't see the wicked ways that are in me. Right? All I know, right? All we know is that we had a moment at an altar, and I know that I surrendered everything to you. Maybe that was you last week at Easter. You said, you know what? I'm accepting this gift of salvation that has now been accomplished for me by the resurrected Lord, right? We've accepted that, but all of a sudden, did everything change for you in the fact that, like, all of your nasty habits, everything now is completely gone from your life? Probably not, because you had to step back into your life once you left that altar. But see, as you started making moves towards Jesus, the Holy Spirit began to reveal things, didn't he? All of a sudden, the things that you like to do, the things that brought you joy, the things that were all about you, all of a sudden now are getting removed. All of a sudden now they're getting called out. Why? It's because you are making movement towards Jesus.
This is why repentance is so crucial, right? That word repent means to turn away. It's movement. It's movement. And as we make moves towards Jesus, our sin gets exposed. The Holy Spirit starts shining a light on the habits that have been tripping us up, right? All of a sudden, we're like, I never realized the things that I watched were tripping me up. I never realized that hooking up with my girlfriend was tripping me up. I never realized that my foul mouth and anger was tripping me up. And we want to get free. So if you want to get free, get up and start moving. If you want to get free, amen, get up and start moving. Start moving. Get up, because as soon as you get up, all of a sudden now you start realizing, oh, I can't move. I can't move this. Why? Because there's something that's been holding you back and you never knew. There's been an addiction that you've had and you never even knew it. You just thought that was regular life. You just thought this is just the phase of life that I'm in, right? This is what people my age are supposed to do. And all of a sudden the Holy Spirit says, I've never called you to that. That was a tradition of the world that you gave into. That was something that the world said was okay, but I never gave clearance on. And all of a sudden now, all of that begins to fall off. Why? Because you're making movements towards Jesus. The Holy Spirit has brought it out, has exposed it, and now all of a sudden freedom is becoming possible because you're making movements towards Jesus. So now that I know this, now that I know that I need to move, I need to know which way to go. I need to know the direction. And verse 2 makes it clear, fixing our eyes on Jesus. Which way are we supposed to go? Wherever he is. Wherever Jesus is, that's where I'm going. Fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and the perfecter of our faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and he sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. You want to talk once and for all. He is now seated at the right hand of his Father. He has returned to the place that he came from. But here's the thing, he's not going anywhere. Listen, Jesus isn't trying to play hide and seek with you, right? He's not trying to be like, oh, I'm over here. All right, now look this way. Oh, now I'm over here, right? Jesus is not trying to trip you up and to trick you into trying to find him. He says, I am seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Fix your eyes on me. I love what the Holy Spirit's been doing even this morning, right? In that song set and in the word that he's giving, where he's saying, listen, let's focus more on things that are above, right? Let's let the things of this world, right, grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace, right? Let's fix our eyes on him. He's seated at the right hand of the Father, and he is staying still so you can keep your eyes on him. And this means, listen, if my eyes are fixed on him, this means I want to do as he did. I want to live as he lived. I want to love as he loved. And I want to serve as he served. But I want you to see the value of this statement, for the joy that is set before him. Listen, I've read this so many times, and that's always tripped me up. The joy that was set before him. What was that? What was that joy that Jesus had his eyes on? I know we're supposed to have ours on him, but what did he have his eyes on in that moment? I feel like many people would say getting back to heaven was the joy, right? Returning back to his Father. As if Jesus was carrying the cross saying, if I could just get back to heaven, if I could just get back to heaven, if I could just get back to heaven, everything will be okay. And honestly, I don't believe that's true. I don't believe that was his motivation. I'm sure heaven was something that he craved and he wanted to return to. But see, what I learned through Jesus' life tells me something a little bit different. I'm reminded of John chapter 4, where Jesus meets the woman at the well and has this incredible encounter with her. And after he finally reveals who he is to her, right, he just kind of sits back and rests. The disciples finally show up. They went to get a bite to eat. And they show up and they're saying, Jesus, you need to eat. And he's saying, listen, I have food that you know nothing about. And they're like, who brought him Burger King? We weren't looking. And so it wasn't that he had already eaten physical food. What he says is, listen, the thing that satisfies me, the thing that fills me, the thing that brings me the most contentment and joy in this world is doing the will of the one who sent me. He says, that's what fills me. That's what brings me joy. I'm reminded in the Garden of Gethsemane when Jesus is praying, he's saying, not my will, but yours be done. The will of God was not for Jesus to come to earth, die a horrible death, and then go back to heaven. Jesus came to seek and to save the lost. That was his mission. That was his mission. And if that's his mission, I'm reminded even from the cross, Jesus begs, not that his life would be spared, he begs that we would be forgiven because we didn't realize what we were doing. He then offers salvation to a thief hanging on a cross next to him. Church, I want to tell you this morning, the joy before Jesus was not his destination. It was to make sure that you and I would be able to get there too. So hear this today, that as Jesus carried the cross, he wasn't saying, if I could just get back to heaven, everything will be okay. He was saying, if I could just make a way for Jonathan, if I could just make a way for Johnny, if I could just make a way for you, insert your name here, if I can just make a way for them, then it will be complete. Then it will be finished. Church, I want you to hear this today because I want you to feel encouraged by it. You are the joy that Jesus is fixed on. That your heart, amen, your heart, your way to heaven, he paved it for you. So let me encourage you today, fix your eyes on the one who is fixed on you. He is fixed on you. Listen, God so loves you, right? We hear that in John 3:16. He so loves you that he sent his son to die for you. Man, Jesus has had his eyes fixed on you since before you were born, and his eyes are on you now. Jesus created our faith, and he will perfect it in the end when our faith becomes sight. Amen? Right? We read that. He says that he is the author and the perfecter. He is the author and the finisher. He created it, and he's going to be the one to fulfill it. Amen? I don't know about you, but I'm looking forward to that day when Jesus fulfills everything that we know he will do. I want you to hear this today. The journey is not easy. This walk that we're called to, this race that we're called to run, it's not easy. It never will be easy. And the writer knows this. So he leads us into this verse. I want to invite Daniel to come up real quick. He says this. I don't want you to feel like I'm ending right now, okay? We still got some time. I just like some piano behind me. He says this in verse 3. He says, consider him, consider Jesus, who endured such opposition from sinners so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. Church, I think we've sensed this all in the atmosphere today, that the struggle is real. We know it's not easy, and we know that the enemy is trying to get people to quit. We know that the enemy is trying to get people to give up and feel like there is no hope. And I love that this is how this verse reminds us. It says, consider Jesus. Consider everything that he has done so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. Now, I feel like this. I feel like if we're not careful, will allow this verse to put us into a comparison trap. Here's what I mean by that. Do you know the comparison trap, right? Sometimes the trap says, why do they have it all together and I don't? Why do good things happen to them and it seems like all the bad things happen to me? You know that comparison trap, but it can also look like this. Well, at least I don't have it as bad as them. See, it's just two sides of the same coin. You see, both points of views are traps because it takes the attention off of full contentment and satisfaction in Jesus, right? In one sense, it's saying, I wish I had what they had. In the other sense, it says, I feel better about myself because they're having less. Either one is a trap. And that's not what he's called us to. So we're not meant to look at what Jesus did and go, well, if Jesus could endure a cross, whoo, I could endure my wife. Right? We're not meant to say, well, if Jesus could take on all of that punishment, then I can deal with that boss that I have to see every day. Listen, this isn't meant to be a comparison of suffering between you and Jesus. Instead, what he's saying, consider what Jesus has done for you. He's saying, listen, think about the victory that Jesus has accomplished for you. Don't look at the life of Jesus. Don't look at the suffering of Jesus and go, well, as long as I'm not going through that, then I'm going to be okay. I want you to hear this today. It's to recognize that Jesus finished his mission. He did what he came to do. He completed it. He said it. It is finished. He says the debt has been paid. And if the debt's been paid, then victory has been achieved in Christ. And now because of what Jesus has done, because of the suffering, because of the resurrection, I have victory. I have now a partnership. I have access to that same victory, not just in a single moment, but I get to actually live victoriously. I actually get to live every day with a chance of victory. That there is an opportunity that's in front of me and I need to grab a hold of it. He's telling us today, don't give up, because victory is on the way if you keep your eyes on Jesus. Why? Last thing I want you to write down is this: Jesus is the only way out of weariness. He's the only way out of weariness. Listen, I know what that's like. Listen, when we first stepped out to come to Columbus as youth pastors, we came from our home church. That's where I grew up as a student, and then I got to serve as the youth pastor there. That's where I met Ginger. That's where we got married. I mean, it was like with the fact that we were stepping out and leaving home to come to Columbus was something that was really difficult for us. But we knew that the Lord called us to it, and so we said yes to it. And so all of a sudden now things just kind of started to pile up in our own life. You know, we had our son, and he's awesome. He was an incredible blessing, but we started to notice some things. We started to notice some milestones weren't getting met. And then even in that process, my dad passed away. And then we found out that my son had something called Fragile X syndrome, which causes developmental delays, and that it borderlines on autism. Now, he's awesome. When you meet him, that he's in this phase right now where he says hi to everybody. Everybody. And it can be the hardest dude walking down the street, like just the toughest guy, right? All of a sudden, Micah goes, "What's up, man?" And all of a sudden, all the countenance changes. This softest, all of a sudden appears, he's like, "What's up, little man?" Like all of a sudden, like God is using my son to just bring joy into people's life. And it's absolutely incredible. But we went through this season where it was like we were losing loved ones. My father passed away. My son gets his diagnosis. My grandfather passed away. It was just like hardship after hardship after hardship kept coming against us, to where the point where I'm sitting in my pastor's office and I'm saying, something's got to give. But here's the thing, and I hope you get this today, because all of a sudden God began to shift my perspective. He's like, "Johnny, you're looking at all of your circumstances and you're focused on yourself." I had the audacity to say to God, "I'm a pastor. I work for you, okay? I do things for you." And all of a sudden, God just with this gentle little slap, he says, "Johnny, what has changed about me? From the times of mountaintop victories to the times of lowest valleys, Johnny, what has changed about me?" And that answer was, "God, nothing. Nothing has changed about you, Lord. I know that you are the same yesterday, today, and forever. I know that you are faithful. I know that I have seen your hand, and I will see your goodness again in the land of the living, God. I know who you are, and I know that you have never changed. So I'm going to worship you. So I'm going to give you all of my life, God. And when you call me again, I'll say yes. And look at him now. 2 months into this new position, leaving a home that we thought we were just coming to a place of some place called Columbus.
We didn't know what that was going to be like. And it became home to us. It really did. Almost 9 years serving in that church. And but we said yes. And when we say yes, you have to know it's not always going to be easy, church. It's not always going to be easy, and there's going to be moments of weariness. But listen to me this morning. He is our only hope, and He is our source of freedom. And as you stand with me this morning, I want you to hear this as well. Listen, we hold on to Jesus, don't we? We hold on. We cling to Him. Maybe you know that hymn. We cling to the old rugged cross, and one day we'll exchange it for a crown. We cling to Jesus. We cling to the salvation that He has purchased for us. And we live because every day is an opportunity. Every day is cloudy with a chance. We may not understand the circumstances, but here's what I know from this. We're not alone. We are surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses. We are surrounded by those who have gone before us and who are challenging us. And not just challenging, but championing us. Coming behind us and saying, listen, you will go. And like Jesus said, you will accomplish greater things. He comes alongside us. It's cloudy with a chance. And I want you to hear this, because as I was writing this out, I was like, this is going to relate to somebody today. What does your chance look like today or tomorrow or this week? Maybe it's a chance for new freedom. Maybe it's a chance for greater faith. Maybe it's a chance for breakthrough that you haven't seen yet. Maybe it's a chance for healing. Maybe it's a chance for provision because you've been wondering how God's going to come through. But I want to remind you today that He has never not come through. That is who He is. He will come through. It may not look the way you want it to look, right? It may not feel the way that you want it to feel, but God will come through. His ways are higher than your ways. His thoughts are higher than your thoughts. And so if we really trust Him, then we trust His ways. And we say, God, have your way in my life. And as the worship team begins to play, they're going to lead us in a song. But I want to encourage you, if you're ready to start making moves towards Jesus, maybe you're like, man, I've got all kinds of things messed up in my life. That's okay. That's all right. The first step is making moves. The first step is just making moves towards Jesus, saying, Jesus, I can't move on my own. I need you. Jesus, I can't fix this on my own. I need you. I can't fix my family. I can't fix my marriage. I can't fix these things in my life. I need you, Lord. Or maybe you're ready to continue to start making some moves. Maybe you just know you're like, I'm ready to trust God on a new level. I'm ready to believe that there's going to be a chance for something new, for something better, for something greater in my life. And I want to fix my eyes on you this morning. I want to encourage you to make your way up here today. I'm going to pray and I'm going to release you to come. And we're going to believe God for that chance that He has in your life. We're going to believe God for what He wants to do. Amen? Come on. I want you to just begin to pray right now. Lift your hands. Begin to ask the Lord right now. Lord, what moves would you have me make towards you, Lord? Lord, what would those moves look like, Lord? Lord, what do I need to do, Lord? There may be someone in here that the Lord's been calling you to the mission field, and you have been called, you've been saying He was wrong for years and years and years, and He's been asking you to surrender it all. And maybe today is that day where you say, you know what, Lord, I'm saying yes to you. Maybe you're simply just saying, I'm just saying yes to the things that you want for me, Lord. I'm tired of focusing on me, Lord. I want to surrender it all to you today. Lord, I want to make moves towards you today. Jesus, I believe you're stirring it up, Lord. I believe you're stirring it up in our own hearts, and we're going to respond to you today. Lord, we're going to step out and say, have your way, have your way, have your way, have your way, Lord. It's not me. It's not about me. It's about you, Jesus. Lord, and I know there have been heroes of the faith that have gone before me, Lord, but I am choosing to be a hero of the faith in this day, Lord, that I'm choosing to step out and believe you for what you want to do in me and through me, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Let's worship together. If you want to come, let us pray with you today. Hallelujah.